The regular session of the Gunnison City Council is now in order for September 8th, 2020, being held in the council chambers of the City Hall at 201 West Virginia and remotely via Zoom. With that, something new and unusual tonight. We don't have a public hearing for the first time in 5 months. I will state for the record again that while wearing a mask to come in and out of the building is what I do, given health considerations, I don't wear a mask during the length of the meeting, but do maintain social distance. At this time, do we have any person from the public who wishes to take advantage of being unscheduled and having 3 minutes to talk on any subject that they wish?
I don't see anybody raising hands for our attendees.
That is fine. I don't see anybody in the chambers either, so we'll ask one more time if there's any citizen input for tonight for 3 minutes of unscheduled time. Seeing none, we'll move to the consent agenda, which has approval of the August 25th regular session meeting minutes and authorization to execute the 2020 water SCADA fiber project contract. Those are the items on the consent agenda.
So moved.
Okay.
Do we have to pull the item to ask a question?
Yes. So therefore, there is no consent agenda. We'll do each item in order. For the minutes, Mr. Miles, is your motion going to stand for the minutes?
If we can, yes.
Okay. Is there a second to Miles' motion to approve the minutes?
Second.
Second by Logan. Any comments, discussion, or corrections? Hearing none, Erica.
Freeburn?
Yes.
Miles?
Yes.
Gilwicks?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
Pata? Oh, sorry.
Plata is not in the room yet.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Just
okay. So, all right. The next item is the approval of the contract with the water treatment. Someone want to briefly address the content of that and let Mallory then ask her question.
David, did you go through that real quick?
Yeah, quickly. This is a similar project, what we did at the wastewater treatment plant last year. But basically, Gunnison Valley Nursing Home is wants to connect to the hospital, so they're going to use Region 10 funds, DOLA funds as well, to make that connection. We partnered with Region 10 and DOLA in order to capture some fiber over to all of our water wells. And during the process, we can connect the recreation center as well as the fire department. So it's a good way to leverage funds in a collaborative partnership with everybody. And this contract is just to formalize that work to be done by Deeply Digital that will put all this in place for us.
So okay, basically, this is something in the 2020 budget and also was discussed with City Council on May 26th.
Yes, thank you, Russ. Yes, this was one of the projects that we green-lighted on the May 26th meeting with Council, and it has been budgeted as a CIP in the amount of $200,000 in our current 2020 budget. We're only going to use $175,000 of it, and the rest of it is a breakdown with the rec center putting in community center, and then the fire department would pay $5,723.25. Hugo has already signed off on that, as well as Dan Wallendorf. And we have this budgeted and we're ready to start the work.
Erica, please note that Council Member Plata has arrived in chambers. And Mallory, does that answer your question?
I just had a few questions. In the packet, page 17 of our packet, where it outlines the project highlights, when it says provide opportunity for citizens along the route, additional high-speed internet options. How does that work for private residents to access the line?
Yeah, we are purchasing at 24 pairs, I think. Yeah. I think 24 pairs of the city, and then there's another 48 pairs.
It's 96 strands.
Total of 96. And Region 10 will own some of those strands or those fibers that they will, provide high-speed internet for people along the way. We would own certain separate fibers that would be solely ours that would not be shared. So that's how it's worked. That's how we can leverage those funds, Mallory. Sorry, my power's going out over here, but that's how we can leverage.
System and provide redundancy to their customers.
So other IPs would just splice into those extra wires, is how that works.
So it requires ISPs like Extreme and IC Connects to buy access.
Okay, and then that would be sold to private residents.
Correct.
And second question, this Deeply Digital company that's been selected. I didn't have any qualms with them. I like that they're based out of Montrose. So I was just wondering, was this an RFP that went out? Were they just selected for one reason or another?
They've been a contractor from Region 10. So they went through a competitive process for the bigger multi-million dollar project with Region 10.
Okay. And then the last question is, there's discussion here about being able to connect in with the Western high speed. And so we're looking on page 32 of the packet. There's a big map there. So I guess I'm just wondering where we're planning. Is that why the route wraps around onto Colorado Street before looping back to the hospital, so we can connect in with Western somewhere in there?
I don't know. Western is already connected in a hub in the Region 10 system. So I don't know if I could answer that specific question.
Okay, and I can't find right now, I didn't bookmark that, but it was mentioned here in the consent agenda item somewhere about being able to link in with Western.
Oh, it definitely links into Western. The overall Region 10 system does. And Western has been one of the partners along with the county, the city, hospital, and other municipal entities.
Great. Well, those were the only questions that I had. So with that, I would move to approve or move to authorize the execution of the 2020 Water SCADA Fiber Project Contract.
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded. Any additional comments or discussion? Hearing none, Erica.
Freeburn?
Yes.
Miles?
Yes.
Gelwix?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
Plata?
Yes.
So carried.
Okay.
Next item is ordinance number 8, series 2020 on second reading.
I'll introduce ordinance number 8, series 2020 on second reading, and ask to be read by title only by the city attorney.
An ordinance of the City Council of the City of Gunnison, Colorado, approving a major change to an existing planned unit development for the Gunnison Rising PUD development and map amendment to rezone the Pioneer Museum from PUD 1M to C.
I move adoption of ordinance number 8, series 2020 on second reading.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any additional council comments or discussion? Hearing none, Erica.
Miles?
Yes.
Gelwix?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
Plata?
Yes.
Freeburn?
Yes.
So carried.
Okay, the next item is the amending the annexation agreement with Gunnison Rising. Who wants to take the lead?
Anton, could you first just introduce what is this annexation agreement and sure. What does it do, and then maybe introduce that this abrogation agreement is in here, and then maybe we could turn to Dick and Rick Lamport, the airport manager, just to go council on update on.
Great, sounds good. So city staff has worked with Gunnison Rising PUD applicants to modify the draft annexation agreement to be consistent with the updated PUD application content. Updates include name and reference updates, removal of inconsistencies or past actions, the addition of affordable housing, modification to land dedications, and referencing existing codes and taking out items that have already occurred. One of these additions, like Russ mentioned, was referencing a updated abrogation agreement, which the applicant and the county and the airport have worked to come to an agreement on that. And I can perhaps invite Dick, if you'd like to give an update on where we are.
Yes, we've worked for about a week or so to work it out, and we had some disagreements and misunderstandings, but it all came to a head about 3 o'clock this afternoon or thereabouts. We had one ambiguity, and Rick worked that out. So I think we're in agreement. We're certainly in agreement with what the navigation easement as it stands now. I think it states what we all wanted, and hopefully it made the airport safer.
And Rick Lamport is here from the airport. Could maybe somebody just describe to council what some of the so what's in this? What does a developer have to do? What obligations does the city have with this funny thing called a navigation agreement?
Yep. Thank you, Russ. Just also for the record, it's important to know that the FAA also concur with this navigation easement. And thanks, Dick, working with us. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. The airspace surrounding the airport is an area of defined dimensions by the FAA. These vertical heights and slopes and widths and so on and so forth. And it's a pretty complex set of airspaces, and it goes as far out as the Mesa, Blue Mesa, and on the west side, and in excess of 5 miles out on the east side, depending on what kind of approach is for the runway. The FAA are trying to, they spend a lot of money on public service airports. Our airport is a primary airport, as defined by the NIPIAS, which is the National Plan of Integrated Airports. It means that we are a key airport in the national chain of aviation infrastructure. So we're not just a county airport or a local airport. We are a key airport as far as the nation is concerned and the Federal Aviation Administration, because we have commercial air service. To that extent, the FAA has invested a lot of money and time over the years, in excess of $43 million, and obviously they want to protect that and stop airport encroachment for the safety of the traveling public and to prevent any issues going forward with new residences and so on and so forth. Hey, there's an airport in our neighborhood and whatever have you, and to protect those airspaces just like you would want on the sides of I-70 and so on and so forth. You don't want trees growing into an interstate and so on and so forth. So there are certain rules and regulations required for development around an airport that only the FAA can determine whether it's a hazard or it's not a hazard. So there were some things that needed to be updated in the older easements, that needed to be taken into account, because as I said, the airspace is much broader than the PUD anyway, regardless. So that's what this easement addresses and the requirements on it. And there are other things like lighting impacting pilots and vegetation, which can attract wildlife and birds that are that are safety hazards to aviation and the growth of the height of structures and any new development going forward, and noise.
So a practical thing, as I understand it before, Anton's department issues a building permit for a phase or a structure. It would go through an FAA process just to confirm the height and that the height doesn't create a conflict.
Correct. They're the ones that can determine that, not us, because the FAA has jurisdiction over the airspace, not the airport. It's an FAA issue. And in accordance with the 7460, it's anything within 20,000 feet at a slope of 100 to 1 with a commercial service airport that has turbine jet traffic. Those are the requirements.
And then maybe finally, Kathy, would you want to share your recommendation given the parties have just come to agreement kind of within the last couple of hours, your recommendation to the council for tonight and a next step?
Sure. So what we've done, anticipating that things may not be completely finalized by tonight, which the last emails I saw, it seems that there, agreement has been reached on the terms, but maybe still some fixing of the wording, and then I don't think the county has yet signed off on this agreement or easement officially. So what we've put into the annexation agreement for tonight to have council have the opportunity to approve the annexation agreement and be able to move the project forward for the applicant is basically just to say we have a navigation agreement been recorded and re-recorded, and that the parties may amend it per agreement. And I think by next council meeting, there should be a final navigation agreement that has been signed off by the city, the county, and the applicant. And then council can just approve that, and we would record that amended navigation agreement at that point. So trying to keep the project moving and also get the navigation agreement pulled together, but not hold up Gunnison Valley properties in the meanwhile for something that isn't really within in their control, as the FAA and the county and the airport all have to agree to the terms.
So we really don't see any risk. I think all the parties are agreeing.
One item needs to be, Kathy mentioned, said that there were still some wordings. Those wordings have been worked out.
Yep, we are fine.
It's all agreed now.
And the FAA have concurred already. Took less than 24 hours to get the FAA to come through with that.
Good work for the FAA.
I haven't had a chance to read through it. I just saw Dick's comments that the way things were worded left some ambiguity. So it seems that we should take out any words that could create ambiguity. Okay. So it sounds like it's ready for official action by the county and the city and everyone, but it's not. We don't have that in front of us tonight at this point.
The word, that's correct. So, yeah. So what this will do is there'll be a little piece to pick up the wording once it's gotten to us formally. So that won't impact in any way the FAA works or the annexation's other portions. Am I correct in that?
You are. We'd be happy to answer any questions on annexation agreement, navigation agreement, or procedural questions on this.
I'll just go around council. Bo, any questions?
No, I don't.
Mallory?
No questions from me.
Okay. Jim?
No, everything's been answered for me, thank you.
Diego?
No questions from my end.
Sounds like we're ready to vote then. Erica.
Did we have a motion in a second?
Did we move?
Oh.
It should
have been moved.
No, move it.
I think I did, didn't I?
I thought it was moved and seconded, but if not, it's Mallory and Diego.
Sure, I'll second.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Gelwix?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
Plata?
Yes.
Freeburn?
Yes.
Yes.
So carried.
All right. Thank you. Thank you both for being here tonight and appreciate the work to get us here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to quickly address, I lost power at my house. Without internet, I can't connect via Zoom, so I just ran in.
If we were all without power, we wouldn't have a meeting at all, so. Although with three of us here, I guess we could do it in the dark.
We have a generator. I think we're on the backup generator here now, aren't we?
No.
No.
Not yet?
No.
City Hall isn't out, but we've got 765 outages right now. The trees are just like laying across the streets, though, but the plows, you know.
I saw four fallen trees on my way in.
Yeah, just took out a power line and a big branch at my house, just the second.
Yeah, it's just weighing everything down so much.
Next item is ordinance number 9, series 2020, on second reading.
I'd like to introduce ordinance number 9, series 2020, second reading, read by title only by the city.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
An ordinance of the City Council of the City of Gunnison, Colorado, adopting an additional appropriation for the fiscal year ending December 2020.
Jeez.
Oops. I saw something interesting.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Exciting ordinance.
By Kathy Fogo, attorney at law. Continue, Kathy.
Always true.
I was done with the title.
Okay. Is there a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to approve ordinance number 9, series 2020, on second reading.
I will second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any further questions or discussion or comments? Seeing none. Erica.
Logan?
Yes.
Latta?
Yes.
Reburn? Reburn?
He's frozen.
He's frozen.
I think we
Miles.
Lost him.
Yes.
Goix?
Yes.
Go back to Freeburn?
He's still frozen.
All right. Motion carried.
Yep. Excitement was just too much for him tonight. Okay. Next item is resolution number 14.
We probably just lost him because North Pine
yep.
is
I
out.
Believe that probably he is frozen in time right now. So note that for the record, the time.
Power just went out here on Pine Street.
Well,
I joined my phone hotspot, so
same.
Well, good to have both of you here. Bo's not so fortunate.
Mo, he may be making a beeline.
Okay. Is there an introduction?
I'll introduce. What are we on? Ordinance number
14.
Resolution 14, series 2020. A resolution of the City Council of the City of Gunnison, Colorado, adopting strategic plan dated September 8th, 2020. And I'll move to adopt ordinance number 14, series 2020.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Are there comments, discussion? I know that Hannah did not have, just being her second meeting here, she didn't have a chance to comment earlier. If you have any comments. Not at this time?
No, not at this time.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure you had an opportunity. Any other comments or additions, corrections?
I like the way it was done.
Okay.
And Bo's heading is over.
He's waddling through the snow.
Just put on his skis.
Yeah, hopefully we got everybody's comments from the last meeting and subsequent comments. Sounds like it. So If there's no additional discussion, Erica.
May I just ask, did Kathy have to read that by title only?
Yeah.
Did she?
And Mr. May, I know we got a couple of people in the public here, so.
Oh, I think Mallory read it by title only.
Mallory did.
Oh, she, okay. I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's right. Not very much going on at this point.
No.
Hey. Yeah.
We lost Mallory.
Yeah. Well,
we
yeah.
We have a full game today.
Hey, that's why there's three. We'll still have a quorum. Yeah. Did they want to comment on anything?
I wasn't sure, but I just wanted to acknowledge we got a couple visitors.
All right. Thank you. All right. We still have a quorum.
All right. Plata.
Yes.
Miles?
Yes.
Gowix?
Yes.
Motion carried.
It's like guacamole today.
Hey, my prediction, we wouldn't make it through the meeting. Ben, it's a good thing you're in the room so you can talk about the grant process. I'm looking out the window to see if the wind's blowing bow this way, but we might as well begin.
Mr. Mayor, may we do item F, resolution number 15?
Oh, did I miss that? I'm sorry. Resolution number 15 is the item before Ben. So. Number was incorrect last night.
This is just a quick correction.
So all it needs to be is by title only.
Sure. I'll introduce resolution number 15, series 2020, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Gunnison, Colorado, commending Adam Engelman for a semester of outstanding service as the student liaison on the Gunnison City Council, representing Western Colorado University from January 28th, 2020 to May 12th, 2020.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to
adopt
the resolution.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. And this is house cleaning. We had the wrong number last time and recorded it in those minutes as the wrong number. So this corrects that. Nothing else has changed. So therefore, Erica.
Thank you. Miles?
Yes.
Gowix?
Yes.
Plata?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Yep. Now, Ben, we can get to discussion of the grant processes and some thoughts that you had that maybe we need to take into account for this year with COVID.
Sure. So in your packets, I did give you a rundown of the funding approvals for 2020. Typically, we keep that about the same for each year unless there's specific direction from the council to do otherwise. One of the things that caused me to request this item is that in your strategic plan, one of the strategies for the economic development aspect was to increase the local spending, retail spending, and one of the strategies was potentially to have focused economic grants for Main Street businesses, potentially if that's facades or business development of some other sort. And so we would just like to get direction from council if you would like to add a criteria, change the strategy one, for your grants.
Since two of the individuals, Diego and Bo, were not involved except at the very end with the finishing them up. Maybe some explanation about the two types of grants and the sources of money might be helpful as well.
Sure. So there are two programs that we've been using in recent years. One is a public service grant, and just as a reminder, the city's charter prohibits charitable contributions to businesses, individuals, and nonprofits. But there are these grant programs, and the premise behind the public service grant is that the city can grant funds to a nonprofit if it provides services to the citizens of the city of Gunnison that the city might otherwise provide itself. So that's the premise behind that. Last year, we funded almost $150,000 to those organizations, and there is a spreadsheet for that in your packet. $70,000 of that comes from marijuana mitigation. So that funding source was approved by the voters as a tax on marijuana sales and manufacturing, and can be used for youth and prevention activities, enforcement activities with the police department. So that goes to a lot of programs like GCSAP for drug abuse prevention. Then there's another grant program called Economic Development Grants, and its premise is that we're investing in our own sales tax revenue. So that's for events, local marketing, business development. We started with $40,000 a couple years ago, but didn't get a lot of traction on applications. One of the reasons I think that is you must share your personal financials with the city so that the citizens know what they're spending their funds on. And that's been a barrier for some businesses in applying for those grants.
But that may be less of a case given COVID, because when we did the sort of COVID economic opportunity and tax,
right,
we had more than 40 individuals apply, didn't we?
Yeah, we had, I think, 46 individuals apply for a total of 206,000, if that number is in my head correctly.
And I do not believe that the need is decreased in terms of our community for this year.
Certainly, especially for certain sectors, I think that would be especially true. Yeah.
Do you think we ought to consider maybe more focused in our economic portion of our grants or not?
Well, the amount that we had allotted in the typical budget process is only $18,000, which, as you know, if we funded $206,000 in the business relief program, that we're still hoping to be reimbursed through the CARES Act for that. You certainly could consider that. $18,000 in our normal budget process isn't going to be very impactful in that way, but I think during the budget process, you could look at your strategic fund that you typically have available to you and could implement something like that if you do so desire.
This is something, I mean, from the Vibrancy Initiative, we discussed potentially being more focused with this, but again, entirely up to council, and there's a variety of ways to do that. We could also advertise potentially a special emphasis is placed on Main Street businesses. But again, entirely up to you.
In the past, there's been consideration on facade programs. Facade programs that you usually see around the state are usually involving matching funds so that you make sure the business is invested in their improvements and is working on cost effectiveness and material, you know, durability and some of those elements that we would be interested in. So that's certainly something that we could include in there. Those come with a lot of challenges too, because you get into the discussions about, you know, I like Western heritage type buildings, but yet we have a very eclectic group of buildings in the downtown area. So it can get to be challenging about what you want to fund and what you don't want to fund.
Word.
And of course, this is preliminary discussion. You're looking for guidance of how to go through the budget.
We can do some more research, come back to you. You can keep the grant program as it is and just move forward. And as we develop the budget process, we may have surprises when we see what revenues are looking like. Right now, sales tax has been 5% down. That's not insurmountable as far as our financial reserves. But if, you know, we have more information that leads us to be a little bit more pessimistic on revenue projections in 2021, that may change your opinion, but nothing in the application process commits you to funding any organization. And even once we have the grants, we always put in a clause that allows us to get out of that grant if you fail to appropriate those funds. Obviously, once someone's awarded, we do our very best to fund those organizations as promised. But
well, with COVID and everything, we may want to thank.
Can we take a second and give Bo to just settle in? Is that okay?
Yep.
Sorry, we are facing some significant outages right now in the city. We're going to be all hands on deck. Dispatch is getting overwhelmed with calls. So.
And I've been trying to manage Facebook over here to prevent some of that, because
2020.
Yeah, 2020 continues.
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
You'll just have to speak loudly, Bella. I know that's something you don't normally do.
Speak loudly?
You did earlier.
I got a present for you.
Uh-oh.
I guess just for public knowledge, Bo just joined here in chambers, and to get Bo up to speed, we're on the grant proposals. And if okay, I do have a few questions for Ben, just for clarification,
sure.
Really.
I figured.
Ben, thank you for that explanation. I know we discussed on our last two meetings ago, we had reappropriated some of the grant funding. We moved some of that around from the Gunny Grinder bike event,
right,
to some of the Cattlemen's. The broad question would be, those adjustments that we made don't have any impact on what we're looking at now.
That was for this year's budget,
right.
So next year is really a clean slate at this point. So
okay.
You could fund more, less, none, you know, it's,
yep,
just,
and it's
a preliminary discussion on what you would like to see in the staff proposed budget, and until it's adopted, there's no official appropriation of funds.
Right. And Ben, on these grants, they essentially terminate in the fiscal year.
Exactly.
So therefore there's no roll forward, although I imagine that on occasions we've had a reapplication that said, hey, I couldn't make it last year, but I do it this next year.
Typically, there, I'd say 95% of the organizations are going to be the same ones that we see every year. And a lot of the, especially the public service grants, are operational in nature and are used to fund either personnel or just operational costs for that nonprofit.
Okay.
You can see that list in the packet.
Okay.
Continue, Diego.
Yeah, and then the next question just goes back to the statement you made around the refund that would come back from the CARES Act. As a result of that funding, again, our grants moving forward are not affected. It's just more of that money has come back. We could tap into it if we'd like to, but we don't necessarily have to or need to, right?
Right. So what I have referred to in your packet is what we usually have in the budget. It's been pretty stable in the last number of years. It has fluctuated over time, but I'd say this would be just an ongoing grant process, irregardless of COVID.
Sure.
Then the COVID business relief grant was a specific approval by the council out of your strategic implementation funds for that purpose. Fortunately, we should be able to get that back. And if you wanted to reuse those funds for a different purpose, that certainly would be available to you.
Okay. And then looking at this from a historical standpoint, I see here that we're suggesting, or a suggestion was made around, like you just mentioned, grants for facade improvements with a match. I guess my comment or thought around that would be, while that's certainly a good way to go about it, or something that could enhance downtown, I'd be curious to learn a bit more around some of the entities that have applied, in particular small businesses, and see what would be the most helpful for them as they look to either recover from everything that's happened this year or move into the shoulder/winter season, right? In other words, is a facade really the key priority for some of the businesses downtown? I'm likely guessing not for many, but it could be. Are there any other areas that we can impact that we haven't looked at as a result of everything?
I think from my conversations with businesses, obviously in this kind of environment, cash flow is the biggest issue.
Sure.
Most businesses are doing fairly well. As we've seen, it's been busy in town. We'll see what sales tax collections were in July, but really in June, there were a couple of anomalies in there that once I take those into consideration, it was really flat for June, which is, I think, really exceeded our expectations from what you might expect during a pandemic and just the fear associated with travel and when we have so much tourism-based businesses. So I think when we'll see the pressure will be that shoulder season as you know, a business, even on a good year, starts to struggle, you know, in the October, November timeframe. I think we'll see the pressure there. I think you're going to have sectors that are struggling more than others. As we've talked about, the bars, the hotels are top of that list. Those businesses, I think, facade improvements would be the last thing that they're considering at this juncture, and how to keep the business afloat, make payroll, is going to be an ongoing consideration for those businesses.
Yeah, I would add that those that are really dependent on events are also right up there at the top of struggling.
Thank you, Ben. That clarifies everything for me.
You're welcome.
Well, this is sort of your first time in dealing with this stuff. Do you have additional questions or not?
I do not.
Okay. But this won't be the first time we address it or move on. So I guess what sort of preliminarily do we want to give direction to finance in preparing this portion of the budget? I don't hear anybody saying cut these two programs.
One thing you might consider is the COVID business relief grant program was something that we put together on its own. Certainly could undertake a new volley of that, so to speak, at whatever time you choose, especially if you see, you know, certain sectors that you want to maybe prop up a little bit. These programs that we've got on the table here is the typical grant process where we want a lot of financial data. We want to know what objectives those organizations are going to achieve with the funding. And so it takes them a while to put those grant applications together. Usually I have them out the door by September 1st. They're due by October 31st, and then you all evaluate the grants and reach your funding decisions. We also decide if we need to manipulate the budget process, as it has to be adopted by December 15th. So it gives you time to look at the grant proposals, evaluate those, and then we ultimately either get the funding agreements out at the end of December or early January, because, as I mentioned, they're operating with those funds and would like to see them as early as possible. So this is just getting that ball rolling in that process. So I think you could look at these things as independent programs, where this is sort of your ongoing grant process for, you know, 6 Points and GCSAP and some of those organizations that the city seeks to fund continue providing those services. And then if you have some other programs, whether it's economic development with physical structure improvements or business relief grants as far as cash flow, I think you could look at those at a different date and roll that out a little bit more nimbly, like we did with the other program.
Yeah, I guess from my perspective, I have no issue with sort of putting this on a normal path for next year. But I do think that one thing that you and your staff may want to consider or consult with others as well is we've added quite a bit in our strategic plan around focusing on Main Street and improving its economic strength and how it operates and how things work well there. There may be some preferences or criteria that we may want to, you may have some ideas that which may fit that strategic objectives better than what we currently have. So if there's some thought behind that, or it may be just that becomes something of a choice that we as council members take a look at when we evaluate, and keep that in mind as we go through the evaluation. But so that's sort of.
We'd be happy to do some more research about the programs that are out there that folks think are working well, if that's something the council would like us to do.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't hurt us to reevaluate, because regardless of how quickly COVID leaves our community or does not leave our community, it's going to take a couple of years beyond that. And if there's a better functioning way of doing it, we probably ought to consider it.
Yeah, that'll continue to be an ongoing, Anton's gang will be engaged in that.
Yeah.
But not hearing a strong, compelling interest in changing things at this point.
No, I think when we get down to it, we may look at modifying some of the amounts that may be dependent upon sort of what interest is generated as well. So.
And usually I include some formulas where you just can seamlessly transfer funds between the two programs as long as they're the unrestricted dollars. The marijuana has some
requirements to, yeah. And significant portions of it are already allocated into education enforcement.
Right.
Are we comfortable with that, gentlemen?
Mallory's
becoming
this.
Oh. Hi, Mallory.
Hi. I had a giant cottonwood limb narrowly miss my Suburban. I had to move my vehicles around on the street.
Mr. May, can I give a quick update? One, we've opened up the emergency operating center, and we're going to be probably starting operations there for the city. I'm sending David there. So we're going to be kind of running a little operation tonight. We're going to have multiple outages, kind of thinking about even a safe place to evac people if they run out of heat. Got a great plan with the rec center with a generator that's all ready to be hooked up, but it's not hooked up right now. If it's okay with you, I'd like to ask to free up Keith for tonight and move his report. Sorry for that, but move his report to the next meeting, or maybe we could do two at the next meeting. That's, so
I have no objection to that.
That's okay with you.
The streets are probably need him more than we need to know what he's found.
We currently have 850 locations without power.
Would you want to consider truncating this? If there's anything else,
we do need to discuss. Initiatives? If we don't discuss them tonight, you aren't going to do anything.
I agree.
And you also got the core letter. If you're going to do anything about it, it has to be done tomorrow.
But I was just thinking those two.
Yeah. So
maybe we prioritize whatever needs to be talked about, and then we can.
But those would be the agree, Mayor.
Yeah. So they need to be, and there may be. I don't know whether there's anything in reports that we need to deal with or not, but certainly.
Just a head, the only one would be just a heads up that Planning Commission will have a significant discussion, but I can do that quickly.
Well, that's their job, is to have significant discussions, not insignificant ones. All right. Okay. I think, Mallory, we're sort of, for your information, while you were out there dealing with tree limbs, the sort of direction here was for the grants for next year to sort of proceed with that sort of as normal, but have them maybe evaluate and research some more things that might focus things more tightly with our new strategic objectives and the wake of COVID and recovery, and come back with that. If that meets your approval, that direction, then we'll stand for Ben.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, so it's not the last time we'll discuss about that. We have the ballot questions out there. Why don't you just go through the titles, and we can say anybody can put up their desire to discuss that particular issue.
There were a couple that Eric and I highlighted. We thought you first might be certainly interested in, and then
let's go ahead. Let's go through and cut down to the ones we talk about.
Okay, great. First one being the repeal of the property tax assessment rates, which really hits the Gallagher Amendment. That that's one that we anticipated, we've been reading about, working on.
We'll definitely discuss that next item.
And next one is the state income tax reduction.
Yes.
And wanted you to be aware of the cigarette, tobacco, and nicotine products tax. Just to be aware of that, it's basically applying a tax to vaping.
Okay.
And then this was interesting when we actually read this. Kind of a sleeper, voter approval requirements for creation of certain fee-based enterprise exempt from Tabor 295. Basically puts limitations on creating new enterprise districts. We have multiple enterprise.
It's state only, though.
For state only. Ben, did you have a chance to look at that one?
I have been dealing with outages.
Okay, Ben was going to look, but you've looked at state only. So it had very little impact for us.
Yeah, it does not do what the publicity around it. It's not vote on all fees. It's vote on a separate independent entity for budget purposes in the state that can assess fees. Yeah, it's convoluted. It's
And then the other one that we probably haven't had a chance to look at with the weather is paid family and medical leave insurance program.
My understanding for governmental entities, we're already under 90%.
We already have to do that.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a significant change with that. The other ones, I mean, there's one related to the Colorado River Conservation District. This is a property tax. We are within that district. This is an entity you may have never heard of that represents us on, represents the West Slope on a variety of water issues. They try to protect our water and do a very good job of that.
I will state there are times that we've been waterhead with them. That's not in the recent past, but in historic past.
So those were the ones that we highlighted. You have all sorts of other topics that are
That list, is there anything that anybody wishes to add to it?
I have a question. I think most of these indicated no position taken from CML. When does CML typically come out with a position on these?
They have between now and November election 2 executive board meetings scheduled. Both of them will follow recommendations. So I would expect the September one, which I think it's not this coming week, but the week following. And then usually, so by the 1st of October, we will know what all of their positions are.
That would be helpful.
By that point, you're actually, mail ballots will already be distributed and people will be voting by the time we can react to that. It's one of those things where the time frame, things were not, if you notice from the last meeting we had to this one, there were two added in there. The Colorado River District was already around, but it wasn't on the list of the Secretary of State. But those two barely qualified on the last day, which was like the 27th of August. So there, it's gotten it to be a tighter and tighter time frame with mail ballots, and actually a portion of people will start receiving their ballots in 10 days. So that's sort of where we're at.
Mr. Mayor, I know you've been studying this one, and Kathy, I also gave her a little heads up on this as well. The interesting thing about the repeal of the property tax assessment is that it's freezing residential and non-residential property. It's not a huge shift, as I read it.
Basically, if you're familiar with Gallagher, which was created in 1982, which was designed to give homeowners relief and put it all on businesses over time. And it would have been much better if it had been statutory and then adjustments could have been made, but it's put into the Constitution. What happens is that based on relative values, since residential structures are becoming far more numerous and far greater portion of total property value, greater and greater burden is placed on commercial property, and it particularly hits hard sole proprietorships and mom-and-pop businesses. And so you have instances during this time period of where property tax actually has been reduced in dollar amount for homeowners, but increased for commercial property. It's at the point where anybody who owns commercial property, the ratchet effect is just, it's becoming horrendous. And so as an individual, I'm very supportive of this change, because I think it is instrumental to helping our small business community, especially during COVID. Otherwise, next year they'll have to pay more than this year significantly. So rather than just the increase in the value of the property, they'll have an increase on the proportion of the value of property count. Does that make sense to people?
Good explanation. Yeah, that was good.
And I agree. We can somehow get that out, how we feel as a council.
And let me take a step back. The purpose of doing this is, under state law, a city council is allowed to pass a resolution in support of or in opposition to a ballot initiative. So the real question here is if you would like us to craft a resolution in support of or in opposition to a particular position. So if this is something, for example, you'd like to support, we would craft something for you to consider.
I would, yes.
And when does that need to be done?
It'll be next meeting.
Probably next meeting.
Okay, yeah.
I would support that as well.
Yeah.
A comment, Mallory?
No comments, no. We can...
You okay with a resolution being drafted?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Next one that I think you will have an interest in, certainly, is Initiative 306, State Income Tax Rate Reduction. This would have a profound impact in a horrible time frame in terms of further reducing state revenue.
Dick, were you able to find an estimate of the total dollar hit?
I was looking. To be honest, I got pulled off that. Let me see if I can.
I wonder what just the raw percentage is. Because
yeah.
I know that it'll be significant. Some of the background on it, it was put on there primarily to counteract the effort to create a tiered or graduated income tax that would increase on higher incomes, and that additional money would go to the schools, public schools, K through 12. My personal opinion is I think we ought to be in opposition to it, because this will affect everything from Western to our school system to our highways.
Agreed.
Oh, okay. Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
This is the legislature.
Whoops, you've got your sound on. Mute your computer.
Hold on. So I just found something from the Legislative Council staff. In current FY 2019-20, for example, this would have a $78.1 million impact. In 2021, it would have a $158 million impact, and going up to 169 in 21-22.
So, literally significant.
We can get more information for you, too.
Yeah.
But I agree with Jim on that.
So, are we okay with a resolution coming before us that would state opposition to that? It's not an obligation to vote. All it is to look at it more.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Next.
Any strong opinion, cigarette, tobacco, and nicotine products tax? I mean, that seems straightforward on the surface.
Yeah, the only thing about that is that money, is that, no, that's not the one where money goes to community colleges, is it? No.
No.
No. No, it's, it just means the cost of cigarettes is going up.
Right. And vaping.
And vaping products.
Vaping products specifically.
Yeah.
And that was certainly something brought up by youth city council numerous times. So
yeah.
I would suggest we say yeah, support the tax on.
All right. I don't have an objection to a resolution in support, especially with the vaping issues that have hit our county city.
Creating new requirements for enterprise zones, but again, as the mayor said, this is applicable to the state.
It's applicable to the state, and it is one that will have lots of misinformation. The major news media, when that was certified at the very end, it's one of the last ones that was certified, basically they said it would be just like you vote on any tax increase, you would vote on any fee increase. And of course, lots of people were unhappy when under Governor Ritter's administration, the legislature put through a set of fees that on your driver's license and so forth that went into bridges and so forth. It doesn't do that. What it does is a vote on an enterprise fund, which would be a fund that would be set up to do something specific that there are fees to, like Parks and Rec, which is already there, higher ed, which is already there, that a fee that if it generated fees enough to really be substantial, which would be almost anything, that you would vote on whether there would be a new enterprise fund, not whether there was a fee with it. So it's one that maybe the drafters thought that they were really talking about all the fees across the board, maybe not. It's one of those things that probably ought to be voted down for the simple reason it's poorly written. It's not a clear-cut decision on things. And I don't know. That one, it could affect us, and the one thing CML said that it could affect us by is there was a enterprise fund that was created to fund street and bridge programs in communities along with some state money that had a fee attached to it, and I think it was part of the driver's license or automobile license setup that did distribute money. This could prohibit new enterprise things that would deal with that. That would be shared revenues. It could do that. So, I think.
And on the paid medical, so no action on that?
Yeah.
And on the paid medical leave, I'd recommend the same thing. You know, basically is a max of 12 weeks, which we currently do. Might be a bump, you know, the way it's written, if there were complications with a pregnancy.
Yeah.
That might be the one instance where this would.
It fairly well follows closely to what is required of governments at the present time.
Okay. Any other? So that's three resolutions we would be creating for you. Anything else?
Any other of the ballot questions you want to look at?
It's going to be a packed ballot.
I don't know if I counted right. What is it, 12 or 13?
Yeah.
We'll have a ballot when it goes on. If there's no other ballot questions that we want to deal with, let's move on to the Colorado Outdoors Recreation Act, which the group supporting that in Congress is trying to put everything together to lobby Congress tomorrow.
Oh, okay, so this is...
That's the date they requested, is September 9th.
Okay.
I would move to sign on to the letter for in support of the CORE Act addressed to Senator Cory Gardner.
This is something I've participated in probably even when I was with the county. It's been vetted. It's really done a good job of reaching out to a lot of different groups. Not everybody agrees with it, but there's been a pretty significant effort to reach out to a diversity of groups to support and potentially oppose it.
For those alive in 1968, this also corrects the fact that they didn't have solid boundaries for Carroll County Recreation District.
Okay.
So that would correct that.
Yes, it's part of that.
We're supposed to have gotten 68 and never did receive, correct?
No, this is actually, they left some boundaries sort of vague rather than firm. And that was, there was questions about how Bureau of Reclamation, my understanding of dealing with some of the dam issues and watershed issues, sort of left a little vague. And there were some property owner disputes that ran for a long period of time that really, I think, were resolved when the Black Canyon Gorge and National Park status was created. So, but this would take care of the Kerr County Recreation Area as well. It's my understanding. So,
I'll second that motion by Mallory.
Moved by Logan, seconded by Plata. Any additional discussion? Erica.
Miles?
Yes.
Gowix?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
Plata?
Yes.
Freeburn?
Yes.
Okay.
So I guess we can send that directly from council as a whole. And in that email, I think that there was a way to do that electronically. And then we can follow up with a signed version by the mayor.
Erica, if you and I would make sure that this could be a long night, if you could make sure that happens in the morning.
Sure.
And so and let's also include one to Bennett as well. So
sure. Yep. That'd be helpful.
Okay.
Got the pension report in here. Ben, again, just need to, that just needs to be a. I apologize, Mr. Mayor. Just want to acknowledge something Erica's been working on. I know we're limited on time, but as part of the One Valley Leadership Group, they did engage a group called Buttery to do some additional marketing and kind of do something, Jim, we've been talking about, is how do we do some messages that are a little bit friendlier, fun. So, Eric, you might just acknowledge kind of what you're thinking specifically for the city.
So there are a few in there, if you saw the pictures, the B1 Valley. So the ones that I kind of lean towards the most were the eagle with spread your wings, not COVID, and then also that we could put around town, maybe at the dog park, some of those large areas there. And then if we wanted to put some postage or signage like on the bathrooms of some of our parks that people use on a regular basis, of the raccoon, that he's washing his claws, I think were kind of fun and characteristic of that area. And then maybe just kind of do a sampling of some of the other ones downtown on sandwich boards, so as people are walking around downtown, they have that friendly reminder. Also our planters that we have in town, if we wanted to utilize those too.
I don't know, and maybe others didn't get struck the same way. When I saw the raccoon one, I thought that actually would work well as a sticker.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking a sticker that might, be something that would be very useful, especially with, young people.
Yep.
Get that out into families. Mm-hmm. I think that might be a fun one for.
To me, that's why I thought of the park. I think with that raccoon one is where you would see most of the kids, and to wash your paws.
And especially since the school district is really working on that very heavily, and probably it may be one of the side benefits of COVID is that maybe we'll raise a generation that's much better than my generation in just basic hand sanitary procedures. You get in the habit early, it tends to be better. So that was my thought on that. And stickers are relatively inexpensive, and I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, just to distribute them around town for friendly reminders.
Yep. Yeah.
I have one thought to add
I don't know what kind of input we have into how these have been done so far, but page 194, there's a postcard layout. And it's the bear on one side, and on the second side, the first word is smile. And I think, I don't know, in general, people don't really like to be told to smile. I'm not really a fan of that.
Smiling on candid camera or on Zoom?
Yeah, especially, I don't know, just
the smiles anymore.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I see what you're referring to.
Yep. The tact of that, of like, smile, I don't know, it's just... I don't think that would be taken very well given the previous postcard.
Yeah. Well, the city wouldn't be sending out any postcards. We'd be using more of like art in the campaign just for around town.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I liked all of the other graphics. I just didn't know if you had input on the postcard content. I would not recommend telling people to smile.
I guess we're down to sort of reports at this point. I have one thing is that I know there are census workers going door to door. I saw one of them yesterday and was dealing with a neighbor that was a second homeowner that wasn't there at that point now or in April. And Gunnison is one of the countywide, we're not doing well overall compared to the state, and we're sort of averages. We're doing a little better in the city, well, that's not really my privy. He was looking at a list through one street on Palisades, and my guess is half of the houses, or at least 40% of them, had not responded. And so my thought was that I know we still have some money that we were going to do for using to provide food and set up computers for people to do it in person, which obviously doesn't work because of COVID. You can't say, hey, everybody come in and crowd around this computer screen. That's not responsible right now. I was wondering if on our next mailing of electrical billing and utility bills, if we could have an insert that would be stuffed in there, if that is something that we could come up with, use the money for, that just says, hey, log on and do it now, because I think you can still log on. We can verify that. And
we can certainly do that. We've already done one round of that.
I think another insert, and basically saying if you recently moved into this house, do you know who was here in April? Make sure that that's there. I know with some things that that's going to be difficult because with so many individuals who are seniors at Western and others that do seasonal work up Valley and in our community, that turnover in some of our housing ends up being quite high, along with some sales. I mean, April is 5 months ago, so it's a long time ago for people to, houses have sold, new people have moved in, the former people, the new people may know or not know much about them. So anything that we can do to up that, because in 1990, we sort of messed that up. We really didn't have a lot of housing. We had more than we did today, but it came back that we were 15% unoccupied housing in the city of Gunnison, and it really should have been about 4, okay? The problem with that is you go and say, we need grants for housing. Guess what? What do you mean? You got plenty of housing. You're not using it. In particular, really impacted a FERC, which is a pump storage that was going to raise and lower the water in Taylor Reservoir by 9 feet every day. It'd be a real churn station. And fortunately, another housing study was done and we were able to deal with it. So it's very, very important. It'll affect how much we are able to obtain, not only in grants, but also in eligible services from the state, because that drives things like mental health and other things as well. So if we can do that, I would greatly appreciate it. I have one other item to share. Some of you may have been on, I think 10 days ago, when we had the public COVID discussion, and I brought up the issue that people brought up about Halloween, and Joni Reynolds followed up today, and to my knowledge, the chamber is not going to do the normal blockade the blocks. They're trying to do some things which might fit into a scavenger hunt or something for Halloween. We are also at the rec department looking into something that maybe they can run through there with enough space and have something of a Halloween. But how we come down the line, and I think that there'll be guidance around Halloween coming out for parents as well from the county, and how to protect ourselves and our neighbors and our families during Halloween, because that's a big event for especially younger members of our community, and some older ones as well. So other than that, any other items to be brought before us tonight? Any updates?
Oh, one other quick one, because I'm being asked to sign a letter. As you recall, we've received a very nice grant from the Valley Housing Fund. As part of that, you might remember this, to receive the full funding, we need to collateralize that with two lots for a period of time. We would propose doing that with undeed-restricted properties. We haven't subdivided the property, so we can't collateralize. So we asked them for $50,000. We did this up front for engineering costs. And so they just want a letter from me signing and saying we agree, kind of consistent with the provisions of the grant to offer two lots.
The $50,000 was going to be a grant,
right,
and the other was contingent, but
right,
they wanted everything in place.
Right.
So
so it's just really confirming those stipulations they had in the original grant.
So
and again, we would get, upon 75% completion of the project,
everything would be free and clear.
Free and released.
Let's do that by motion, please. We'll authorize the manager to sign the agreement with the Gunnison Valley Housing Fund.
I don't know if I characterize this as an agreement, but it is restating.
Or a letter.
A letter.
Let's do it as a letter.
Oh, so moved.
Okay.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded that the manager is authorized to sign a letter stating or reconfirming the terms and conditions around Lazy K housing. Any additional discussion? Hearing none, Erica.
Gowitz?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
Plaza?
Yes.
Freeburn?
Yes.
Miles?
Yes.
Anna, is there anything from Western that we should be aware of?
We are still planning a homecoming sort of thing in connection with alumni. We don't know exactly what it'll look like yet, but we're thinking about doing some spike ball or some scavenger hunts around town. We have yet to have any new cases reported today of students or faculty. We had a really big push for a Western Strong over Labor Day weekend to try to encourage people to not leave the valley or come in to like see their friends and family and whatnot, to try to hopefully prevent more cases. What was the other thing? I think that's all for right now.
Thank you very much. And is there anything else to come before us tonight? Yes, Erica.
I just wanted to make to maintain and improve the parklets on the South Main.
And Erica's been really, well, working with Parks and Rec too. We're essentially buying stuff we would be buying anyway for IOF Park for, you know, the future park.
And small stage and signage, things like that. So.
Excellent.
Okay. Great. There being no further business?
Just one quick, sorry. I just got one quick one tied to my role on the County Planning Commission, just to put it into public record that I will be recusing myself from a project application from the Board of Governors of CSU. It includes two lot subdivisions in the Wilson subdivision. This is a minor impact application, but because of possible future implications around this and city annexation of the property, I will recuse myself from that. Just putting it on record.
Okay. Just like I have been recusing myself from the discussions in the Valley Housing Fund since they're involved in it.
Yep, that's all.
Okay.
So just, a number of us are going to go over to the Emergency Operating Center, and again, that's something we open up. It has a backup generator. And just kind of in an abundance of caution, we'll be prepared to kind of respond to things tonight as they develop. You know, one thing in a situation like this is an emergency shelter, and that makes us scratch our head in the city. So in terms of where's a good location, we're going to have a great location here in about 6 months at the rec center. We'll need an appropriation for that, won't we? So, you know, just want to give you a quick update where we'll be tonight.
And I guess that would include people stranded on the highway as well.
We would, but that's just one of the issues I anticipate we'll be talking about.
Alrighty.
So be safe tonight, please.
Okay. At this point, we stand adjourned. It's 7:56.